Yo, welcome to the cave, where the pages ignite. Join the crew, we're diving deep into the night. It's Jessica, Jennifer, Catherine, Anastasia. In the book cave, we your literature fantasia. Turn up the volume, let's talk, yeah. Stories and fantasies that'll sweep you away. From the spicy romances to the darker sides. Every chapter unfolding, no reason to hide. In the book cave, we're sipping some tea. Plot twists and tropes, come and vibe with me. Cover to cover, we're breaking it down. With laughter and insights, we wear the crown. In the book cave, we read between the lines. Yeah, novels where the narrative shines. Spicy tales that make you blush. Join us for the magic in this literary rush. In the book cave, we read between the lines. Yeah, novels where the narrative shines. Spicy tales that make you blush. Join us for the magic in this literary rush. From fantasy realms to the contemporary scene. Love triangles, heartbreaks, you know what I mean. We're chatting about worlds where the wildest play. Underneath the surface, let's unravel today. Jessica brings the heat with a fiery taste. Jennifer with a smile, keeps it real, no fakes. Catherine's laughs will light up the air. Anastasia's insights, we can't help but stare. Every week's an adventure, a storyline ride in the book cave. Our passion's too wide, so grab your mugs. Let's toast to the plot in the sanctuary of stories. We give it all we got. In the book cave, we read between the lines. Yeah, novels where the narrative shines. Spicy tales that make you blush. Join us for the magic in this literary rush. In the book cave, we read between the lines. Yeah, novels where the narrative shines. Spicy.
Hello, and welcome back to the book cave. For anyone who just happened across this podcast or might be unfamiliar with us, we run the Book Cave blog on WordPress, where we review books and post about author events and conventions. I'm Anastasia. I live in Connecticut, and we usually start things off with a question of the day, I guess. And today's question would be, if you could be a supernatural creature, but only at night, what would it be and why? Catherine, what do you think?
I'm Catherine. I live in Rochester, New York. And my answer is, I'm going to have to explain a little bit. So my answer is,
oh, no. Is what?
A phoenix.
Okay.
You know, thinking like Harry Potter, but I know like the whole thing at night. Listen, I'm not one for cloak and dagger. I feel like we all know this. That would never be my strong suit. I more would want to be a phoenix. So it would be like, if I'm alone somewhere in the dark at night, I want someone to find me and come help me. So as a phoenix, I'm like lighting up the sky. I'm here. I am. Come to me. Help me. But also, I just love phoenixes. I think they're gorgeous, and I love the whole rising from the ashes. So phoenix is my answer. What about you, Jennifer?
Well, your answer is kind of cool and fun and well thought out, and mine is, I feel very generic, but I'm just going to go with dragon because I was trying to think what is a supernatural creature that could see at night, and I feel like seeing at night would be important, and no other reason, just because they're pretty badass, and if it was a daytime, I would be a Pegasus, something that flies no matter what, so... I am really unhelpful. But now that you mentioned fire and being able to see, I could also breathe fire and be able to see
well. Absolutely. That works.
What about you, Jess?
I'm Jessica, and I'm in St. Louis, Missouri. I kind of had all of those thoughts. But, you know, like we do for Jackbox, you got to create the backstory.
Yeah.
And so my first instinct was dragon. But then I was like, that'd be cool because... I agree, definitely something that flies. But then I was like, but then everybody would just like hunt me down and be trying to kill me all the time. So no. But then I did think about Phoenix because at least if they kill me, I could live
just
again.
Rise in the ashes. Just rise in the ashes.
But then I settled on just Harry because I'd have wings and I'd still be like Tinkerbell fairy, you know, and you could hide and people wouldn't try and kill you. So I was trying not to die.
You get to be a little like unconscious, right?
Well, I didn't know we're living in a world where people are trying to kill us, you guys. You have, we have to discuss the backstory. Like on Jackbox,
this world.
We need to know.
Jennifer, you live in this world. If you were a supernatural character at night, what would you be? You can't just be a dragon hanging out in LA. Somebody's gonna try and shoot you.
I'm gonna live in the mountains.
So my thought process was totally different than all of you.
Apparently. Anastasia made a different backstory.
Yeah. So I was thinking, what would be the most useful and practical thing that I could do? And my thoughts landed on actually the Twilight Vampire, because then I could have super speed. I wouldn't need to sleep, so I wouldn't be tired all the time. And I would just be able to read all night or get chores done at super speed. Like, that sounds awesome. So I could do whatever I want during the day.
I love you, Anastasia. I love that your mind still
I mean, if we're getting to be people creatures.
It's a supernatural creature. Supernatural vampire is a supernatural creature. Well, so
well,
the Twilight version of vampires don't need to sleep. They have super speed. I could, drink blood from animals. Sounds like a win-win. They read books really fast, so I'd be able to get through things
and absorb the
information. Finish your TBR so fast.
They, like, can clean up in seconds because they move so fast. It sounds great. Yeah, so you guys were way more fun than I was. I was just like, I could do chores real fast. But
I wanted to be able to fly around and not get murdered by other people. So.
They just want to be able to fly.
I just don't want to be tired anymore.
I just don't want to be tired anymore. Don't we all?
Yeah. Well, in the first half of this podcast, we will talk about books we've read recently and books or events we are excited about. The first half and all the reviews on our blog will be spoiler free. And then in the second half, we're going to do a deep dive into Silver Elite by Danny Francis. That part will be full of spoilers. So if you haven't read Silver Elite yet, we will let you know when to stop listening. There's going to be a spoiler free review of Silver Elite going up on our blog soon. Catherine, what have you read recently?
So I have read 5 books since our last podcast. I read Instant Karma by Marissa Meyer. Yes, I listened to you guys. I listen.
Well, you didn't listen to Anastasia because she didn't like it. You listened to me.
I did. So I'm a Beatles fan and I've become obsessed with Marissa Meyer. So there was no way I wasn't going to check out this book. So this was my first time reading one of her more contemporary romance books. And I loved the Beatle references, but I loved how it didn't like dictate the plot. That it wasn't, like trying to put all like the themes of a Beatle song and try to make a story. I love how it just was its own story that had Beatle references in it, whether it's like the names of the main characters or, like the Yellow Submarine came up as like a plot point for a theme for something. And I thought the story was fine. I loved it. It was predictable, but also really lovely. I loved going on the ride and I gave it 4 stars. I finally got to read Nightshade by Autumn Woods, and it might be one of my new favorite all-time books ever. It was so good. Wow. I could not put this book down. It had like the mystery, the dark academia world, the romance. It was all like chef's kiss. It was so good. I'm dying for the next book to come out. The audiobook is not great. Like, I had the audiobook with the actual book, and it was like the graphic audio where like it skipped chunks of the chapter. Wow. Skipped parts. And I was like, why is it doing this? Which stunk, because it is like a duet audiobook, so it's fun that you get to hear different characters' voices, but would recommend reading it over the audiobook, or if you are doing the audiobook, have the actual book with you so you get everything. I loved it. Gave it 5 stars. I also read The Raven Boys graphic novel by Stephanie Williams. I read The Raven Boys, the novel, a few years ago, and I remember when reading those books, there were parts of the plot that I kind of got a little lost in. where the description, especially where like kind of magical elements came into place, where it was a little confusing to me. I feel like the graphic novel really like helped clear some of that out, and the artwork is really beautiful. I feel like it captured like the essence of that world perfectly, and I really hope they make more graphic novels for the rest of the series, because I definitely would read them. I also gave that 5 stars. I reread Bride by Allie Hazelwood because the next book, Mate, just came out this weekend for it. So that is definitely going to be, I'm going to try to make it to the bookstore sometime this week and go pick that up. And then my 5th book being Silver Elite, which we're going to talk about later. But how about you, Jennifer? What have you been reading?
So I finished my reread of all the From Blood and Ash books. And then I read The Primal of Blood and Bone. So it's all a reread. It was all really good. The last book was so, so good. It went in a direction I should have saw coming, but didn't really think was going to happen. And it ended on a crazy cliffhanger, and I hope I don't have to wait long for it.
It always does.
Yeah, but I love this series. I love the prequel series. I will recommend these over and over and over again. And funny thing, there, I always was thinking, I wanted to say again, it is not a vampire book, but there are.
But it is.
I know, Jess rolls her eyes. Although it's like number one in vampire series on Amazon's like little list thing. But
because it is.
it's not a vampire. But funny enough, she partnered with Heinz Mayonnaise for their like garlic aioli to create a garlic smelling Primal of Blood and Bone version. Hilarious. And I was like, did I miss something that they are like repelled by garlic? But no, it's just some like kitschy marketing thing. But I just thought I'd also share that because it made me think about Jess and vampires. And I swear there's blood drinking, but they're not like traditional vampires.
I did see that video because I follow her on Instagram too. I was like, why would you want your book to smell like garlic?
I know. Tempted to buy it just so I could see it in person.
You smell it.
Smell it in person.
It probably looks like the regular book. It just smells different.
But yeah, I only read 5 books this month, and that is like very low for me, but that was because I was in a hurry to read all of these in time. And then, well, I guess, I mean, I technically don't count Silver Elite because I finished it today, so that's October, but yeah, I also did read that. What about you, Jess?
Okay, so I don't usually count, but now that Catherine bragged about her number, I had to count. So I read 6 books this
month.
Wow.
Ooh. Not counting Silver Elite because I read it like 2 months ago. But the first one I read, Catherine will also appreciate. It was called Of Flame and Fire by Malika Bridge, I believe. It's a YA fantasy. It was a lot of fun, but there were several inconsistencies that made me like, I don't know, I was just very annoyed, and I was like, it kept making me stop and think, how does this actually work? Because it sounds like it works this way, but then another time it works this way, and I got really annoyed. But anyway, it's about phoenixes. It's basically, if you want another, like, you want a dragon book, but you don't want another dragon book, you read this one, because it's phoenixes.
Okay.
And in this world, they race phoenixes in these very dangerous obstacle course races, and the phoenix, they're all like half feral, and they want to try and kill each other and everything. The main character owns her phoenix, and she is the phoenix trainer, but she does not ride the phoenix during the races because that's super dangerous, and their rider gets killed, and they're forced to take on a new rider who's this hot shot guy, of course, that the main character hates. He's just so awful. And but their team does really well and starts winning, and then they get the sponsorship from this company that might not be on the up and up, but hey, everybody needs money, right? And it was really a fun story, but like I said, there were some inconsistencies that got annoying, and then I wasn't a big fan of the ending either. It just kind of and blah. okay, bye, done, see you later. I'm like, is there another book? I believe there is another book, but you're just following, but not these characters. They might appear, or there might be talk of them, but it sounds like you're following another set of people in another part of the land. So, I don't know. It was strange, but it was fun. I gave it 2.5 stars.
Ooh.
Because I was mad about the inconsistencies. Ooh. Stuff like, so your phoenix is like on fire, but you have to wear special equipment so they don't burn you. But sometimes they burn through stuff and sometimes they don't. It was very annoying. Mm. Like trying to figure out how it worked because it wasn't consistent.
Okay.
So then I read Fearful by Laura Roberts, which is technically a novella. I didn't have any idea this book was coming out. It popped up on my Libby, and the covers all are very clearly matchy-matchy. So I was like, oh, this goes with that series. I thought her other novella was pointless. This one was even more pointless. Now, don't get me wrong. I read the first book, Powerless, and it was great. I really liked that one. But all the rest of them have been kind of bleh. This book follows, the main character is Death, and Death is following around characters during the events of the last book. Just kind of following them around. It's like a behind the scenes. None of the main characters, just a behind the scenes with what was going on during the last book from Death's point of view. Death was actually interesting. Just like it had a very dry sense of humor, nothing, no real emotions, just the living, they're just so silly, you know.
Okay,
some cute quips, but, and I thought there was going to be a connection. I thought we were building to this connection that was going to make it all make sense, and then at the last minute they said, no, never mind. And I'm like, okay, so yeah, 2 stars for that one. Then I read A Study in Drowning, and then this follow-up book, A Theory of Dreaming. It's a YA duology. The first book was really good. It's set in a fake world, but it's like our real world. The magic is basically folklore. Only the uneducated really believe in it anymore. The educated pretend they don't believe in it, but they like study it at the universities. I don't know, that part was kind of strange. But there's this famous book about the folklore, and the author is just like worshipped, and he passes away, and everyone wants to like unearth all his secrets, and these two university students go to his house, and they're granted access to the house with the widow and the son, and they start uncovering the truth about this author, but and whether or not the magic is real. And I liked that book. I have no idea why, but I was frantically turning pages. I wanted to know what was going to happen. I wanted to know how it all fit together. I really enjoyed that book. And then I finished, and I was like, okay. But I had the second one sitting there, and I was like, I don't really want to read it. This was good enough. But I had it sitting there, so I went ahead and picked up the second one, which came out recently, I believe. And I kind of wish I hadn't. It was kind of boring. It's called the Theory of Dreaming. So they spent a lot of time going to sleep. And this book is kind of like the other main character's story. So the first one follows the female main character more. And this one follows the male main character more. And I liked him better than her in the first book, but I did not like him in this book. So I gave it 1 star. First one got 3 stars. Second one, 1 star. Just read the first one. You don't have to read the second one. And then I also read Catherine's Swap book. But we won't talk about that right now. That'll be a later date. Anastasia, what'd you read?
One day. Yeah, one day.
I have till the end of the year, you guys, okay?
You do.
We're all going to be done. Except for
months. You've got a couple months.
With the exception of Jennifer's book.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we haven't even gotten your book yet, right?
I haven't even gotten it. I'm the first one.
Okay.
So she needs to finish her book and then.
It's get hilarious. All three of us. Read the most books of the four of us every episode.
I know. I know. And it was her idea.
Mm-hmm. It was her idea. That's right.
It was my idea. She sent us a video from TikTok and was like, hey, we should do this. And like 20 minutes later, we had a plan. I'm working on it, okay, guys?
I have enjoyed it. I'm glad you brought that idea to the podcast.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yes. It is fun. Anastasia, Catherine, and I are enjoying it immensely.
Hey, I did one book.
Which one did you do? Oh, you did Anastasia's? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because Anastasia's is the only book that's done.
Yep. Oh, I thought she had yours too, Jess. No?
She has mine. She just hasn't done it.
Got it.
She has mine. She has hers. And she will have yours when I send it back to her.
I read Jess's book.
Yeah.
You read everything. Should go earlier. I know I haven't read. I've not read Catherine's. I also looked at hers. Okay, sorry, go ahead, Anastasia, my bad.
Good. No worries. So I also read 5 books this month. The first thing I read was 3 volumes. They're like combined into one, so it's like one book of the manga called Haiku. The whole concept is centers around a high school boys volleyball team. It's so ridiculous, but I had a lot of fun with it. All of the sports mangas, they take the sport so seriously that it's funny. Like, the intensity of, like, how they speak about these sports, and it's just, like, a high school game. Like, it's fine. Like, it's not that big of a deal. But they take it so seriously, and they're so passionate about it, that it ends up coming up as really funny, and I have a great time with it. So, lots of fun. Will read more. 4 stars for each one. I also read the book Black Sheep by Rachel Harrison. This was for a personal book club that I do not run myself. It's a horror fantasy thriller book for the spooky season. It's not like my typical read, but it was interesting. It centers around Vesper, and she had left home like years ago, like cut off all, like she had cut off contact and stuff, but mainly because the community she left was a very religious community, and so once you leave, you're not really supposed to go back. But she gets a letter inviting her to a wedding of a friend of hers, and also her ex-boyfriend was the groom, and so she ends up going back home, and has to confront some dark family secrets. There's parts I would love to discuss, but can't really without spoiling like major plot points. It was kind of cheesy. This is, I think, only like the second or third horror novel I've read. And I don't know if I'm just, like, the horror books that they're choosing are just, like, the wimpy horror, or if horror is not as scary as I thought it would be, but it's not, it wasn't scary. So I was like, I guess I expected something different. It was fun, but it wasn't, like, the most amazing book I've ever read. So I gave that one 3.5 stars. So, decent time, but it was okay. Then I run 2 book clubs at the library that I work at. And one of them is an adult fantasy book club. And we read Good Omens by Terry Pratchett for September. We picked this one because we wanted to compare it to the TV show that is out about that. I had seen the show first, and so it was interesting going into it and kind of already knowing the story, but very much not knowing it they have a very interesting way of writing that didn't totally mesh with me. It's like, I'm one usually that likes detail, but the amount of detail that these people had in this book is just a little over the top. It's a little too much.
Okay.
And there's all these annotations too, like footnotes at the bottom of all the other bunch of the pages that add context for things and like over explain what's happening. And like, I honestly, this is one of the few rare exceptions where I feel like the show is better than the book.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes. The show managed, there's like a lot of different storylines in throughout the book. And I felt like the show did a great job of weaving them together in a way that like made it satisfying when they all like met up.
Okay.
But the book felt like you'd be, because there's all this extra random stuff that I feel like is put in there, it felt a little bit more disjointed and like I don't know, it was harder to connect with. Like, I could definitely see the bones of the show in there. The plot of those plot points, like, I remember watching. And so there was definitely good moments, but this style of writing just did not work for me. So, like, the good points pushed it to 3.5 stars, but that writing killed it for me. Oof. It's a really odd style, so I'm not sure I'd read another book that he's written.
Wow.
Yeah. But luckily, the teen book club, we chose Beautiful Creatures by Kami Garcia and Margaret Stoll. And this is a reread for me. And I don't know if it's necessarily the most popular book for other people, but I loved this one back when I was a teen. Middle schooler, reading it for the first time. And I loved reading it again now. Like, it was like a brain break after like three stars. I was so relieved to read something that I was like, oh, I still like this. Oh, this is great. I'm so happy.
Aw, yeah.
But Beautiful Creatures focus, the main character's name is Ethan. So this is a rare YA novel that's told from a boy's point of view. And this one back, you know, in the 2010s was a twist where the girl moves, like, is like the supernatural creature or whatever, and the boy is the mortal. So, you know, a mysterious girl moves to town and, you know, she's having a hard time concealing her powers. You know, weird things keep happening around her, and Ethan's been having these dreams, and at first, you know, he didn't notice it was her, but it's definitely her. And, you know, it's, they're drawn together, and it's all, it's like there's magic, and it's really, it's a fun time. I like that one a lot. Back when I read it then, and I still liked it a lot now. Definitely. They did make it into a movie. I don't know if I ever actually saw the movie. I was like scared to.
I don't remember hating it, but I like everything.
But yeah, it's a really fun book. I don't know if, like, I can't tell if how much of my enjoyment of it is nostalgia versus like it's actually good, but. This one has I have a soft spot for. Jess, did you have a book club book this month?
We did. I didn't have a riot on my hands in book club this time either.
Huzzah.
Yeah. So we read Ghost Boy by Martin Astros, I think is how you say his name. It's a true story. Martin, when he was very young, I should have written down these ages. He was like 6 or 7, 8, came home sick from school with a sore throat. And the doctors never really did figure out what it was. They kind of speculate now that it was some kind of brain infection, but he deteriorated all the way down to like a vegetative state. He lost control over all of his limbs. He couldn't speak. And then he just wasn't there anymore. And the doctors couldn't figure it out. They couldn't treat him. He wasn't getting any better. So they told his parents to take him home and wait for him to die. and he didn't. And he thinks somewhere his earliest memory he can remember is like somebody was talking about him being 16. He essentially like woke up at 16 and he was in his body and he was awake, but he couldn't move or speak. And he was stuck in this care facility. He would go home with his parents at night and on the weekends. They were just strung out trying to take care of him and deal with him. And they couldn't really figure out why he was, nobody could figure out why he was even still alive, really. And nobody knew that he was in there. And he was awake for a couple of years before a physical therapist, or she was a massage therapist, came in and she was talking to him while she was massaging his muscles. And he was doing like little blinks and just head jerks. And she was like, no, he's answering my questions. He knows what I'm saying. And the people are like, no, no, those are just muscle spasms, just muscle tics. And just kind of right place, right time. They were at the time doing... The people at the care facility went to a seminar where they were talking about this new way to help people who were nonverbal communicate by using computers and lasers and touch screens and picture pads and things like that. And she was like, I want to get him into this program because I believe he's in there and he knows what we're talking about and what we're saying. And nobody really believed her at first, but she fought for it, and she got him into the program, and he did well. And then he eventually, once they knew that he was in his, you know, his mind was awake, then they started working with him more, and he got more of his mobility back to, you know, and started using computers to communicate to the point that he was able to write this book. And it's just like this whole story of his situation.
Wow.
And he talks about the abuse. There was lots of abuse in those care facilities.
Yeah, so scary.
Like sexual abuse, physical abuse, all kinds of things. So much deeper book, but there, and we had some to talk about, but I guess there wasn't, I don't know. They did talk about it a bit, but I mean, what, there wasn't much more to say other than he was lucky that this woman took time to,
yeah,
to notice him. And it's great that he has accomplished what he accomplished. And it's horrible that those things happen. But they were not unhappy about the choice like they were a couple months ago.
They were livid.
Well, one lady, but yeah. Livid enough for everybody, I guess.
Right?
That was my book club book.
What'd they rate it?
I think I gave it 4 stars. Wait.
That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Were there any events that you guys wanted to talk about?
No events, but we have an announcement that, yeah, we're going to an event.
All of us.
All of us this time. Yay! Jennifer and I took on the responsibility of trying to get BookCon tickets.
Bless both of you. Yeah.
We had no idea it was going to be this crazy. I just assumed it was going to kind of be like it was in the past. And I'm like, there's going to be plenty of tickets. It's fine. Nope. Sold out in... They kept saying that it wasn't sold out. They're like, oh, refresh. It's just in people's carts. And I'm like, stop telling people that you're not sold out because you're sold out.
Yeah.
The comments, man. Ah, I feel bad for people.
Yeah. And I still see them. I saw somebody today being like, anybody got 2 Saturday tickets? I need 2 Saturday tickets. And just like, that's, now is not the time. Like, if people have them, they have them. But, and somebody did comment that they said, you know, when it gets closer, people are going to find out, you know, plans change, things come up, stuff happens. But right now, they are sold out.
Yeah.
But we will be at BookCon. It will be Jennifer's second, Catherine's first, Anastasia's
fourth,
my fifth.
Yay. It'll be my second. I went to the one in Chicago.
Oh, I thought you said you hadn't been to any.
No, I've been to BookCon in Chicago.
That's okay. Because that's what I thought. I was like, did you go to the one in Chicago? Maybe you didn't respond. And then I thought that meant you just didn't go.
Yeah. If the notifications got into the double digits, I may not have responded.
I don't know what you're talking about. Our group isn't like that.
Okay. You say so.
So we're very excited. We're all crashing at our friend Kelly's house, which will be chaos, I'm sure, with her two toddlers, two babies, and all of us. So we'll have to make our travel plans. I know Dan is going to get me my plane tickets for Christmas.
Oh.
So, gotta plan that flight.
I have to figure my stuff out. Like, am I just... Because I'll have BookCon that weekend, and the next weekend is a PolyCon in Washington, D.C. And I'm like, do I just stay on the East Coast and not go home? So I can't buy my tickets yet until I make plans for how that's going to work out.
And for everyone listening who are curious about BookCon, it's in New York City this year, and it's April
18th and 19th.
Yep.
It used to be a yearly thing before COVID, and... I know they shut down because of COVID, but I feel like they were kind of breathing a sigh of relief, like, oh, thank God we have a reason to cancel this, because it did get kind of big and out of control. Literally, people got hurt fighting over books and ARCs and such. So this year they have, I know they're like rebuilding. It's kind of like the excuse, but I also feel like they're trying to scale it back so it doesn't get as big and out of control. Yeah. So it is going to be smaller this year. But there will also be a ball. And so we'll be going to the ball on Saturday night as well.
I have to figure that out.
Yeah.
No idea what to wear to that.
Well, some people were asking, they're like, do people just wear their dresses to the convention all day? I'm like, no, absolutely not. Who would do that? But then I looked at the hours, and the show goes till 7 that day. And I was thinking it would close at like 5. We'd have time to go back, dump our stuff, change, and come back. But I guess that's not going to be the case. I don't know how we're going to work it.
It depends on if there's anything happening.
We'll be in our backpacks.
Yeah. I mean, there's coat check. I guess we could coat check garment bags, but they're still going to be a little wrinkly because we'll have had to fly them to New York too. So, whatever. Whatever.
Everyone's changing in the bathroom.
Yep. There's going to be... We need to, like, stop at Times Square on the way back, though. And get pictures with our gowns
on.
Yeah, that
would be pretty.
Wouldn't that be cute?
I would love it.
Kelly's going to be like, I'm not waiting up for you guys. I have to go to bed.
Oh, absolutely not. No, she will not be staying up for us. No way. Nor should she.
No. No. Our hijinks. Shenanigans.
All right, well,
oh, yay.
Lots of excitement. But what are you guys currently reading / looking forward to, Catherine?
So I just finished Silver Elite, but my next
10 minutes ago.
We've been recording more than 10 minutes. So
okay, 30 minutes ago.
So I'm drastically like shifting gears to like what do they call it? Like a, just like a cozy read, like a fluff cozy read. Mm. And this kind of goes with our question from the beginning because it's called The Baby Dragon Cafe.
I've seen that cover before. It's so cute.
It is super
There's
cute.
There's a kid's book now too.
I got it at Half Price Books too. So it was like, you know, just like a few dollars, and it's like in pristine condition too. And I read the back and I was like, that's kind of a cute, like cozy autumn read. So I'm shifting gears for that. And then I talked about some of the other ones I'm looking forward to, but obviously Mate by Allie Hazelwood, Jen DeLuca, who wrote a series about different romances at Renaissance fairs, switched gears a couple years ago and started writing like paranormal romance with that, like in a contemporary like ghost town. And the first book came out last fall and I read it, and the second book called Ghost Business came out I think like 2 weeks ago. So I'm hoping to get that and read that. I still want to read Rose and Chains by Julie Soto. Stephanie Perkins is an author I love too. She just came out with a first book that she hasn't like written in a few years called Overdue. And then I still am curious about What Fury Brings by Trisha Lavenseller. So those are mine. What about you, Jennifer?
So I also just finished Silver Elite, but 2 hours ago. So I'm not currently reading anything.
We want it to be fresh in our minds. We're not procrastinators or anything. We just want it to be fresh.
Taylor
Primal of Blood and Bone was like high on my list to finish before this book. I couldn't not finish it. But I'm looking forward to The Wrath of the Fallen by Amber V. Nicole. It is the fourth book of her Gods and Monsters series. And I really, 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 really love that series. Oh, and I'll be seeing her November 5th at The Ripped Bodice in Los Angeles. So I'm stoked. And that's really, I was looking at my calendar. That's really all I'm looking forward to until November. So what about you, Jess?
Well, I have on my Kindle waiting for me The Rebel and the Rose. Catherine, are you planning on reading that? That's the sequel to The Flame and the Dagger, the magical orgasm book.
Yes.
What? What'd you say to me?
The Dagger and the Flame. Yep.
And now this one's The Rebel and the Rose. So I have that on my Libby app right now waiting for me.
Okay, now I've got to add this to mine too.
We must know more about these magical orgasms. I'm looking forward to House Sapphire. That's Marissa Meyer's adult debut that's coming out next month. And there is a new Thursday Murder Club book that is out. I am also, I guess I should have put that in events. I didn't even think about it. Marie Lu's Red City is her adult debut, is coming out, and I'm going to her signing on her tour next week. I think it's next week. So those are the ones I'm looking forward to. Anastasia, you got any?
So I also finished Silver Elite this afternoon. It's been about 5 hours, so, you know, it's fun. But I will be starting my next book club book, The House at Watch Hill by Karen Marie Moaning. This one is about a young woman who moves to Divinity, Louisiana to inherit a large fortune in a gothic mansion full of mysteries and ominous secrets. So, should be fun. but I'm also looking forward to Marie Lu's Fred City. So,
is she coming to Connecticut?
No, but I got the book at the library already. So, yeah, we get her stuff in early so we can have it on the shelves for the release date.
Yep, not this Friday, next Friday. She's got a tour stop here.
People don't know if we always come to Connecticut. They don't really think about it, so.
I know, that's why I asked, because you're always like, nobody comes here.
No. Every once in a while, something happens, and it's like, wow, you remembered us? That's crazy. Yeah, but otherwise, no, she's not coming to Connecticut. It'd be a bigger deal if she was. All right, anything else you guys want to add before we move into our spoiler section?
I misunderstood before, so I looked it up on my Libby. So The Rebel and the Rose hasn't come out yet. It comes out in December.
No, I have it.
What? Okay.
Like, it's lit. You want me to start it? I can hit play.
No, I don't need to. It says not yet published. Expected December 2nd, 2025.
And where is that? On your Libby?
on Goodreads, I guess.
Well, that's just people putting that. No, it came out already.
Yeah, you have to be careful. I'm a Goodreads librarian.
Jennifer probably put that. Can
you fix this? Yes.
I could go fix it.
Yeah, it does say that, huh? Interesting. Usually they're better about that.
The Rebel and the Rose by Catherine Doyle.
Oh, you know what, though? If you look into editions, the Kindle edition says September 2025.
Oh, it's only the Kindle versions that are out?
I don't know what's happening. Because, yeah, Amazon says it's not out until December 2nd as well. I better listen to this really quick. Because we're going to realize I'm not supposed to have it.
Yeah, the ebook is coming out in September, but for some reason the hardcover is not coming out till December.
And you have an audiobook of it? Because the audiobook is saying it's not until December.
It's on my Libby right now.
Girl, you better listen
hurry,
to it.
Hurry, hurry.
Oh, you know what? Audiobook is saying September, too. So it's just a hardcover. So, I don't know. I guess if you want to do digital stuff, you're fine.
Yeah, maybe. Hold on. Let's slow this down a little bit. Hot.
Are you...
Rebel and Rose. City of Funtown, Book 2. By Catherine Doyle. Read by Emma Carey and Freddie Carter.
So it exists.
It exists. I don't know.
Okay,
I don't know what's happening.
I could listen to it on Spotify. I found it there. Interesting.
I have no idea what's happening right now.
Okay. I'm sorry I interrupted.
This was breaking news.
Problem solving on the podcast.
We need that breaking news soundboard app that you
yeah.
for your broomsticks and better beer.
This says September 10th, 2025 was when it released.
Sometimes yeah, it looks like it's just
they get,
like,
traditionally published or something happens with artwork. Maybe they just had to push back the hardcovers.
All right, well, if there's nothing else,
we're gonna the craziness on going on in the book world.
Yeah, we're going to move on to Silver Elite. So, if you have not read The Silver Elite by Danny Francis, you should stop listening now so you don't get spoiled for it. But go read it, come back, and then you can listen to the rest of it. So, goodbye to non-spoilery people.
Bye!
Bye!
Later.
While they're leaving, we can talk about the craziness with this book before it came out. It got on everybody's radar because Danny Francis is a pen name, and a bunch of people online were trying to say this was Sarah Maas, and so it hit the numbers went crazy. It sold so many copies. It's very clearly not Sarah Maas. The publisher 100%. Did say it's somebody in Canada, and it is a New York Times bestselling author, but she lives. The person, we don't know if it's she or he or she, lives in Canada. Sarah Maas does not live in Canada. But it still made the book blow up. And I guess people were disappointed because it wasn't Sarah Maas.
I think the marketing for it was just very much like pushed and pushed and pushed it, and people were curious to read. I think everyone just thought it was someone really big. But if it was...
I feel like if it was, they probably would have published under their name.
Own name, exactly.
Yeah, it's got to be somebody like a children's author or something and who didn't want their name
so
on the
I don't want to say anybody can be a New York Times bestseller author, but Sheena Shea from Vanderpump Rules, her book was on the New York...
But I had to explain this to my book club because...
So I feel like you can't trust that list. No offense.
No. They were like, it's a New York Times bestseller. It's supposed to be good, right? I said, no, absolutely not. It's just popular. Works. Sold a lot of copies. All you have to do is sell a lot of copies.
Yeah.
People don't have to like it. They just have to buy it.
Exactly. So the cover. Thoughts?
It's fine.
It's fine.
It's very Hunger Games.
Mm-hmm. I agree. They spray, you know, everybody's spraying the edges now. They did spray the edges silver, which
at least is correct. There,
is this what you mean?
Oh no, mine is silver, like shiny silver.
Oh, mine is black with like a silver.
Oh, baby. Interesting.
Like I guess like the arms are, yeah.
Yeah.
Like
baby. Oh, mine's shiny silver.
Mine even has like blues in it too. I don't know if you can see with my lighting, but there's like blue hues to it as well.
That's pretty though. Like lightning or something on it.
Marble-y. But that Phoenix book I was telling you about earlier, it had it was purple. Purple sprayed edges. Like a very light purple too. And I'm like, what does this have to do with phoenixes?
Yeah.
Like it was just very annoying. The front had like purple feathers too. I was like, these are not phoenix colors. Why are they purple? Purple and pink. Pastel-y. Like, why? So I at least appreciate that they got their colors right.
How about the story? What'd you guys think?
So I at first wanted to read this book, then when I saw the hype was just hype, then I didn't really want to read this book, and when we said we're gonna read it, I still kind of pushed back. But then I'm not too mad about that we read it. It wasn't as bad as some people made me think it was going to be, but I didn't love it. I still am debating if it's just 3 stars or like I almost could give it 4, but some of it's kind of cheesy. But I thought the story was, I thought it was okay. Like it has, I will read the next one. I didn't think I would be reading the next one, but I will be reading the next one. So
I gave it 3 stars. I felt like the story was, it felt too similar to other things where it just didn't feel original to me. And it was also, part of it might just have been me and like my state of mind when I picked it up, but it was like just not an enjoyable world to be in.
Yeah,
like I kept being like, oh, I have to go back there. there. So that might have been a big thing for me where it affected how I took in the story too. It felt like it was trying to be a lot of like Fourth Wing and Hunger Games to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It felt like it really took a little too similarly what made those books successful. I didn't have like the intrigue. Like when I'm reading Fourth Wing, I'm really interested in like, you know, what's going on with these other characters. There's a sense of mystery. I feel invested. I want to figure out this world. And I just, that never happened for me with this book.
I also ended up landing on 3.5 stars. There was a lot of tropes in this book, but I feel like that's both like good and bad because some of the tropes are entertaining. Like they're common for a reason, you know? So it's still, like, I don't mind so much when a book is not super original most of the time. But I also had a harder time focusing on this book, I guess. Like, I would be reading it and then kind of, like, tune out a little bit and then, like, try to force myself to go back in. But, like, I did like parts of it. There were definitely parts that were interesting. I thought there were parts of the world that were good. There were parts of the, like, little moments in the plot that, like, stood out. Like, theoretically, there's nothing wrong necessarily with the book, but I didn't connect to it the way I thought I could.
Do you guys think you're reading it under the time crunch?
Maybe.
Had an effect on it? I read it a couple of months ago and, you know, obviously wasn't rushing to get it done for the podcast. And yeah, there were some things that kind of rolled my eyes, like, oh, you know, she's, of course she has special powers and she's extra special and extra special. This and extra, extra, extra. But I did think that the magic system was interesting. It reminded me a lot of, you know, you guys are saying like Hunger Games, Fourth Wing. I thought the Darkest Minds.
100%.
I was thinking that one.
Like,
yes.
Like an adult version of Darkest Minds. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I didn't really think
I was a little more
that one.
Into that aspect of it. Kind of feeling like, oh, if the characters were older in Darkest Minds, this would be more of the story we're getting. And it had that, you know, military element and the found family elements, and I enjoyed those.
I started this book with plenty of time and put it down, and then was like, oh, I've got until next Sunday. And then I was like, oh, wait, no, it's this Sunday. Oh, wait, it's Saturday right now. Kind of moments. So for me, I don't think it was the time crunch. I think, like I said, I think it was just the world didn't suck me in until really like the last bit of the book.
That's when it really sucked me in, was the last bit of the book. I was like, wait, these last like couple hours of it were like way better. Like I found the beginning super cheesy.
Whoa.
And I was like, I do not want to read this. But actually it turned out okay. I'm not mad about it anymore. But in the beginning I was like, every time she used some weird made up word she said, not made
oh,
up,
yeah,
but like
the made up swears.
Yeah. And, like, I heard her cheesy swears. My client, when we were listening to it in the car earlier, she said something like, you prick hole. And my client just burst yeah. out laughing.
She's like combining swears to create different yeah. ones. And I was like, why are we doing that? Why don't you just swear like a normal person?
Like, I know. And I was like, I swear not all my books sound like this. I promise. Don't judge me based on this book. You prick hole.
And some of them didn't sound like natural in the flow. Like, it almost, there was a few times where they put in, so one of the characters was swearing, and I was like, that doesn't sound like it goes there. Like,
and then like, them using keen a lot, and like, keen is a very common word, like, in Australia. So if it was like an Australian writer, and then they're saying like, keen, it wouldn't have bothered me as much as it did. It felt very thrown into this world. I don't know.
You don't know who she is. They might be an Australian person who moved to Canada.
100%. But for some reason, it felt like keen. Okay, keen. Like in the, I don't know. It just didn't sit right with me for some reason. Must have said it 100 times. Like instead of you're good, you probably just should have stuck with you good. Okay. Anyways.
What did we think of our characters here? The main one. Oh my God, what was her name?
Ren. / Ren. Daisy / Dove.
Broken Dove.
She was fine.
That's right. She was fine. That's it.
I don't know. She does a lot of stupid things that annoy me. Like, let's take her removing her burn at the end. I'm like, you effing idiot.
That was dumb.
Yeah. What?
I can't even.
Well, she kept trying to convince herself that they would accept her. And I'm like, but we really just shouldn't test that theory.
Yeah, and she had a moment earlier during the medical exam where she was very adamant, like, I'm not taking that risk. It's not worth the risk. Like, I didn't get what changed. Why did we go from that smart choice
to this? Actually took me a second to realize she did. Like, I feel like I must have tuned out during, like, a portion of that. And where then suddenly her leg was healed, and I was like, wait a minute, I missed something. Like, didn't you throw a fit about, like, I know it was, like, for your cover, but you basically threw a fit saying that you weren't gonna do this. Like, it was, like, it meant something to you, blah, 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 you know.
That's the other point, too. I thought it was, like, she realized there was, like, truth to that of, like, I like these scars as a reminder yeah. of who I am and what I've overcome. And I was like, oh, that was actually really beautiful. I actually really liked that. I was like, oh, that's really awesome. This is great character growth. There's like nice, like added depth there. And then, yeah, I felt like it got thrown away.
Yeah. Sometimes I feel like, you know, the authors just got to do what they want, whether the character would actually do it or not. And that really stands out like this.
Well, yeah, because without this, that whole the whole end of the book couldn't have happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She needed it to happen.
Yeah.
The author did.
She needed her.
So she forced the issue. It wasn't something like he, Cross wasn't trusting her, so she was gonna be like come clean and give him the whole truth about everything, and showing him her birthmark was part of that. And I was just like, also just a dumb mistake.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't like it because it really was only used to further the plot.
Yeah.
It wasn't because I did it for you because I love you, asshole, or whatever she says. Mm-hmm. Like, but that wasn't it. Was, without it.
There had to be another way. You could have figured something else out. You didn't have to.
It would have been just better if it happened at the medical exam. Like, she was caught off guard and it was forced.
And then it happened right there. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that would have been better.
If she had, like, managed to hide it while she was there, you know, like, you're only going to be so careful, you know, for so long with all, with that kind of situation. Eventually, if you're getting hurt, you might have no choice.
Oh yeah, she got like hurt on a mission.
Like she was knocked out, and they were just healed everything.
Yeah,
and we're like, okay, you're welcome.
That would have been really good. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's my issue with this story. Is it's everything's a little too convenient for me. I'll still read the second, but it's definitely yeah. It gave me, I don't read YA anymore, so it gave me weird YA vibes, but just with like cuss words thrown in there and obviously sex scenes, you guys, it's not YA, but I just meant the flow of the writing for me was very.
See, I think that made it a little more tolerable for me. I'm mostly YA, but we've had these books recently that are like, they're adult books, but it's a YA book. You just upped the character's age.
Yeah.
But you tell me the character is 24, but they're still acting like they're 17.
Yeah.
And that annoys me. Like, I would rather read about a 17-year-old acting like a 17-year-old than a 24-year-old acting like a 17-year-old, because then you got no excuse left. But this one, at least she's 20, and she doesn't have all her shit figured out yet.
Yeah.
That's not it. That's more of a better balance for me.
And she didn't really have a normal childhood either. She's basically raised in a war zone with a adopted parent.
Mm-hmm. I thought, so you didn't, I agree that you wouldn't want to live in this world. I did think it was interesting. I just don't think we saw enough of it. Like, we got the mutated wolf or something at the very beginning, maybe, and that's really it. But we know this world has like these like mutated monsters, animals.
There's that one bear.
That place where everything's trying to kill you and things like that. But we just don't see a lot of it because she's like on the base the whole time.
That's a problem with some of the dystopian stories. I find like they always set up the really interesting worlds and they never explore it. I have the same problem with a show, The 100. The first few episodes exploring the Earth, and it was so cool. And I was like, yes, keep going with this. Look at the mutated deer. Let's go. And then they just like dove right into all the romance and relations and relationships and politics. And I was like, but the mutations and the crazy weather, let's do that instead. Same
I want to know about that. I know about relationships.
It was going to take place in that dark space.
Yeah, let's go there. Like,
that's going to be a really interesting book. Like, okay. And then it was like, yeah, I lived there.
It's fine. I've moved on.
It was like a chapter, right, that they spent in that little area. It was like nothing. Like, nothing happened. She was fine. Like, walking back to that towards the end. But like,
I think a cave cat attacked them for like a hot second.
He kept trying to die, the other guy, but he was like, dude, just don't touch anything, don't eat anything, and be quiet.
Just follow where I step.
So we were talking about earlier about the tropes and the people, or the similarities, and I did think this had like a big Fourth Wing vibe, and one of the times Catherine was saying, she said she hadn't finished it, or she put it down, or whatever. I forget what she said. And I said, well, where are you? And I said, oh, you'll be fine. You're going to get to the part where they're hanging out together at the training, like in their squads or whatever. And I think I even said there's going to be like the Zayden character and Liam character and the Riddick character. Like, and I made notes of all the people in the book, and they, yeah, I just pretty much put next to them Jack Barlow, Liam,
yep.
Riddick.
Yeah. But just not as interesting as those characters.
There's no dragons. No.
Well, I don't know. I feel like you got like the gist of like their, okay, I'm this person, and then they kind of didn't do anything else with them.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean? Her friend dies. They did something with him. They killed him.
I wasn't invested. Like,
I kind of felt just a little bit bad, but it only probably because I just learned of their friendship all within the last like 24 hours.
Yeah.
Well, he's still alive.
Yeah. I know. What an asshole.
Yeah.
What? I thought it was going to totally be, what book am I thinking of where she finds out her mom is running like the command. I thought it was going to be like her mom who got off that airplane, not her friend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking either her like mom or dad.
Especially
or something.
With that letter, because we didn't know what was in the letter at first. And you're like, oh God, we're going to go meet mom and dad right now. They run the resistance.
They totally could have kept her there this whole time.
Yeah. They would have probably been training her to be like a weapon, though. And Uncle knew what they were going to do and took her away and hit her. So hit her from her parents. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
Hit her from her parents that were going to use her as a weapon for the for the resistance. And, you know.
And now she went back.
Now she's back. Oh, no. I think we did waste a lot of pages with her trying to like fail out.
Oh yes.
Yeah. Some of that would have been fine, but
I was like, they already know you can shoot, so it doesn't make any sense hiding that you can shoot. Like, none of that made any sense. But
go ahead.
If we'd done less of that, then I think we could have had more like side character growth. You know what I mean? Because you were saying we didn't get. They were interesting, but we didn't get to know anything about, you know, any more about them. They didn't get any more depth because we wasted so much time pretending to be worthless, trying to fail out of the program.
Yeah.
Go
ahead. I was just saying, I wish they had more, like, that the tests were a little bit more interesting. I don't know. I was waiting for it to feel a little bit like the tribunal and all of those things, like kind of those bigger scales. And I feel like there were parts of the chapters where kind of remind me of Anastasia's swap book where it would kind of read a little bit like a report, but that
they
only
did do that. Yeah.
Did that for like five chapters and that was it. But that would have been kind of a cool thing. Like if you're going to do that, I would say like carry it through a bit more, but
what were you gonna say?
I was just gonna say that they didn't really like flesh out how you guys were saying how they didn't flesh out her friends, like even when she needed to borrow a dress for someone, it all felt very much like a book that I've read, and this should be like a cute little moment where like the three girls are going and one of the girls lends her a dress. I don't know, I just thought everything, I never connected fully to any of the side characters. Except that I am behind 100% that Lydia's a bitch for turning her in. Or Liddy.
Yeah, it just seems like we spent time on the wrong stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was probably super long. And they said, you gotta cut. And she spent time cutting. I mean, I can kind of say from the perspective of having edited a story that you're like going along, going, yeah, this is important, this is important, this is important. And then you look at your word count and go, shit, I gotta cut some. And then you start cutting. So I kind of feel like maybe that happened. The first part she's going through, she's like, I need this, I need this, I need this. And then she goes, oh shit, I gotta cut stuff, and starts chopping. And you didn't chop throughout the whole thing, you just chopped throughout the second
half or like middle. Somewhere in the third.
Did you guys predict the whole wolf thing?
Yes.
Yeah. 100%. Oh, yeah. Made it, like, right from the first time she met him in the interrogation room. I don't know. I just was like, that's Wolf. I just knew it.
It has to be. It has to be.
I did feel like so vindicated. I was like, yep, I knew it. There we go.
I was laughing when she was laughing when he flipped out. But I was also like, you should have done this totally differently. Why did you do this to him in this way? Like, I was annoyed, but I was also laughing. She's like, I want this dream. And he's like, who are you? But she had to make sure it was him.
I know, but there had to have been a better way.
She should have just been like, do you like wolves?
I like daisies.
I have
to sit in the same room with him and say something to him in his head and see if he responds.
Not too. I couldn't understand.
Like, you could have like done something funny, and if he like went, then you'd be like,
or just said, like, what are you doing right now? Well, in the same like area.
Mm-hmm. Come on. It had to have been. I mean, I did laugh at the moment. But I just didn't think that that was the right way to go about it. Not that she did go about anything the right way.
No.
It's kind of her thing. So
every way she goes about everything. Never agreed with one decision she made the whole book.
Honestly, I didn't really know what I was supposed to be rooting for at one point. Like, I kind of, like, makes sense that you don't want the people with the powers to, like, be hunted down. But at the same time, the rebels kind of sucked, and they didn't seem like super fun, or that's not the right word. I don't know. They seemed bad too.
But that's a common trope too. I mean, think of the Hunger Games. You're being like used by both sides, and neither side is really that good.
Yeah, but I think because she didn't really know what she was doing, it was harder to, like, know what exactly I was rooting for to happen.
Mm-hmm. I didn't love that the names Cain and Cross were so similar. I won't lie, there were chunks of the book where I was like, wait, who's, what guy, wait, who, oh, okay, this is the love interest. No, this is the guy who wants to be the love interest, but is also the friend. Okay.
Who names their kid Cross? So you have Travis and you have Cross? Is that, am I getting the wrong brother?
No, like, is Travis, Cross, and then Roe.
Yeah.
And Roe, yeah.
But like, Roe was like...
Mom's crazy, you know.
That's true.
No, I did not get Cain and Cross confused at all because of wrestling. Cain. So every time Cain came on, of course I was thinking of Cain, the wrestler. Who was like a monster.
Oh, your husband would be so proud of you.
Oh.
But then I think I just... He was like a Liam Riddick combo to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. I could see that.
Who she bangs.
Doesn't bang... Cain.
They came close.
They just get close. Okay, that's right.
She crawls in bed with them and they kiss a little bit.
Okay. Why did I think they did hook up just once? Did I make that up in my head?
It's at the very beginning of the book.
Yeah, the very, very, very beginning. Okay, but maybe they don't. Maybe they do just like make out heavily.
Yeah.
How were the feels? Did you have any?
Cross seemed hot. I wanted to feel the feels. That was my feeling. I was like, I wanna feel this. I want this moment to feel big for me, like it is for the character right now. But.
Right, like when they find out that they are who they've been to each other since she's like 6 years old, I'm like, this should be like such a monumental feels feeling for me, and I did not feel it. Like, I'm still excited for them or whatever, and I'm like, I'm so happy you guys get
but
to, like,
you've known it since age 50. Like, I think that is what kills it, because you already knew and you've known this whole time,
but now the characters know. I feel
now like they know, and you're like, awesome.
Yeah, I think she needed to do more of a twist on these tropes. Like, I can read the same trope over and over again and because I love it.
Right.
But I just need a little twist on it to make it fresh again and make me really enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And yeah, I think maybe it just wasn't like messed with a little bit enough to get it to be feel new again.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand that.
I feel like an editor needed to go give her a lot more pointers on this book instead of like, oh, yep, you marked all the boxes. Like, people are definitely going to read it, which they did, but.
We did.
Yeah.
At first, I thought this was going to be a standalone book, and then I was like, oh, it's a trilogy? So.
Is it a trilogy? I thought it was, I only saw two on Goodreads. I thought it was a duology.
You can't trust Goodreads.
People like me are librarians.
I've been
a librarian since 2012.
I've definitely got into or felt the like the brutality of the world and this school. You know, when they had to. When she had to kill the, what's her name, Bryce, in order to advance, essentially. I mean, she didn't have to kill her, but Bryce wouldn't yield, so she had to kill her. Things like that, and some of the trials that they went through.
What's her name who gets killed by the brother when they're both outside, like, having, like, hanging out on the roof or whatever? That felt intense for some reason, even though she wasn't really friends with her. But that
Batima?
Moment.
Felt,
yeah, Batima, that's her name. That felt more intense to me than when her uncle was, like, going to get executed.
Yeah, the Batima one was. It was just kind of out of nowhere, I think. It was just all of a sudden. And you went back. If you went back and looked at the scene, you're like, oh, shit. Just like. Ren does. She kind of goes back and thinks about the scene, and it's all there. We read it. We didn't catch it, but it was there. So some of it was worked out well.
Yeah.
Now that you've pointed out probably she just cut chunks, that makes way more sense.
Hmm.
Like, maybe things were more thought out.
Yeah, because I think she got to the point, we just kind of missed some of the stuff along the way that would have made it, you know, made us connect better or feel more, whatever.
Yeah, I could see that.
Actually, I don't know if I'll read the second book because I definitely won't reread this first book.
You don't always have to reread, Jennifer.
Yes, you do. Just to get in the fields. You can't get in the fields.
You don't have the fields. There's no fields to get into.
Exactly.
So you don't gotta read it.
That's true. That's what I'm saying. I might not be able to get through it then.
Overall thoughts?
I'm still not totally convinced that this isn't just an AI written book with tropes.
I don't know.
It's crazy we've got to worry about stuff like that now.
Mm.
It's so nuts.
Kind of sounds like when the AI makes up things when I ask it questions.
Yeah.
It can be pretty thorough, but always not 100% got the correct feelings down.
Yep, that's true.
I don't know. If it was AI, I think it would have still had to have been like heavily edited because I don't think AI is quite there yet.
No, definitely.
It makes sense for this, for that length of time.
Someone threw in some, like, this is some ideas I have for a story. And then ChatGPT went, I gotcha. And then they went back and took out all the chunks that didn't make sense.
Yeah. Where somebody only had one leg and an elbow and sticking out of her forehead and all that crazy stuff. I think that's it. I think we covered it.
Thank you. You were amazing.
May the odds be ever in your favor.
No mourners, no funerals.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Yo, welcome to the cave, where the pages ignite. Join the crew, we're diving deep into the night. It's Jessica, Jennifer, Catherine, Anastasia. In the book cave, we're your literature fantasia. Turn up the volume, let's talk, yeah. Stories and fantasies that'll sweep you away. From the spicy romances to the darker sides. Every chapter unfolding, no reason to hide. In the book cave, we're sipping some tea. Plot twists and tropes, come and vibe with me. Cover to cover, we're breaking it down. With laughter and insights, we wear the crown. In the book cave, we read between the lines. Yeah, novels where the narrative shines. Spicy tales that make you blush. Join us for the magic in this literary rush. In the book cave, we read between the lines. Yeah, novels where the narrative shines. Spicy tales that make you blush. Join us for the magic in this literary rush. From fantasy realms to the contemporary scene. Love triangles, heartbreaks, you know what I mean. We're chatting about worlds where the wildest play. Underneath the surface, let's unravel today. Jessica brings the heat with a fiery taste. Jennifer with a smile, keeps it real, no fakes. Catherine's laughs will light up the air. Anastasia's insights, we can't help but stare. Every week's an adventure, a storyline ride in the book cave. Our passion's too wide, so grab your mugs. Let's toast to the plot in the sanctuary of stories. We give it all we got. In the book cave, we read between the lines. Yeah, novels where the narrative shines. Spicy tales that make you blush. Join us for the magic in this literary rush. In the book cave, we read between the lines. Yeah, novels where the narrative shines. Spicy tales that make you blush. Join us for the magic in this literary rush. Whispers of romance, tension in the air. Characters we love, always laid bare. From the dark to the light, we explore it all. In the book cave, you're invited to call. Let's break down the stories, the tears and the fun. With a sprinkle of spice, oh yeah, we just begun. Follow the journey, keep those headphones tight. The book cave podcast, every day and night. With sizzling tales that get your heart racing. We're all about the read, in this wild embracing. Find your favorite trope, let the adventures begin. In our cozy corner, you're sure to fit in. With laughter and love, we're lifting the veil. In the book cave, original stories prevail. So hit that subscribe, let's ride through the pages. Join our discussions where the thrill never ages. Jessica, Jennifer, Catherine, and Anastasia's calling. In the book cave, come lose yourself in it all.